my observation that people in general tend to be skeptical about everything that makes demands on the higher faculties, but it's not at all skeptical about skepticism. That demands nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, right on.
All right. Now let me tell you about extraterrestrials. The Ogatans. First, the names of their planets, which are Ogata and Oshan, Menon, Arca, and Chorti. And they form a solar system, not a galaxy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
A little background on the system. They have a twin binary system, and that's not so unusual. 50% of all stars are multiple star systems. Now, you know, we're very conscious of the stars and comets at this time of Halley.
Mm-hmm.
The closest star to our sun is Alpha Centauri, as you know, and mm-hmm. that's a triple star system.
Right.
All right. We're dealing with a twin one. Incidentally, you're out there in California. You know, at the Lawrence Berkeley Lab, they have come up with some data that our solar system could well be a binary system.
I heard about the sun having
a smaller companion star. And I find that kind of fun.
We haven't seen it.
Well, I can only tell you it's conjectured to have an elliptical orbit. And it brings it relatively close to the sun periodically. In fact, it's so catastrophically close that they've named this companion star Nemesis. And that's, of course, after the goddess of doom.
It would be if it got too close again.
That's right. Our message is not one of doom and gloom. Ours is one of a great hope and a great bright tomorrow. I couldn't have made the changes in my life that I did from ground zero if I didn't have a great picture of hope. Remember what this scenario was. And remember what the message was, despite what man can do to man. And despite nature's plan, there are those civilizations out there in the cosmos who believe that planet Earth is very well worth helping in a time of great adjustment. And that time is now.
It is a gem, isn't it?
It is a gem. And it's a beautiful planet, and there's plenty that all of us can do about it. Most people, you know, seek change and then resist it. We didn't resist it. We changed everything about our lives based on what the Ogata group told us. And so...
Well, you're doing the same thing...
One of great hope. I'm sorry?
You're doing the same thing I'm doing. Changing everything about our lives.
Well, I think most of us have to do that, Bill.
Sorry to the ground. You can't do it on a national scope. You have to do it on a personal scope.
Well, I think it's time to change thinking radically. Of course, while we change thinking, we have to acknowledge old habits do die hard. If this scenario comes to pass, as the Ogata group says it sadly will, then we simply have to dissolve a great number of all of the artificial barriers that separate us as a people. And I mean racial and political and religious, national or ideological. Dick and I often say to each other, we think we're in the advanced stages of our slow progress from the Stone Age to the New Age. We're in a cosmic countdown. And when the Ogata group talked to us about the survivors to be, the leaders to be, the architects of the future, we know that in order to get there, we've got to let go of old age thinking. And
that's
we have
right.
to simply anticipate some 21st century cosmic revelations without fear. Some days, Bill, it's easier than others.
Well, you say it in a different way than I do. I simply say the establishment does not work anymore.
Well, it doesn't.
And it's, the establishment...
I think Dick would like. Dick would very much like to respond to that, I can see. Go ahead, Dick.
No, what I was going to respond to... you started talking about the Ogata group, the extraterrestrials. Bill, when you opened the program, you talked about one of your attention getters in the book was what we wrote about, what Greta wrote about on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, about 2 months ago, we received a letter from a Texan, a fellow from Dallas, who joined our Update family as a subscriber, and I'd like to share part of this letter with you because you did mention the moon story.
I do want to point out that the Update family, that's the Woodrow Update, which is the finest of all of the newsletters in the world that I have seen.
Ah, thank you, Bill.
Period. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Ah, thank you.
You're very kind, and we appreciate that. This letter, just a small part of it, says, a friend of mine was on the photographic team that developed the actual film taken during the moonshot voyage. His hair curled when he printed the negatives. Those astronauts were followed closely by UFOs from the time they left our atmosphere and sight until they returned. They took thousands of pictures of these craft. Some of them showed the faces of the passengers on board. The astronauts' comments about the alien craft were edited constantly. Then the fun really started. When they were orbiting the moon on the backside, they found exactly what your book mentioned. Pyramids, large buildings, landing sites or ports, towers, and more spacecraft. So, Bill, there's corroboration of some of the theses that you've been propounding for a long time. There's information in our government and other governments around the world that should be let out to give us a relativity.
One of these days, we're going to be able to produce the transcripts that came from the Apollo astronauts over the telemetry that monitored their heartbeat. Because that is where most of the information about the extraterrestrials and the craft on the moon and the rest of it was transmitted back to Houston, was on the medical telemetry systems. And that was scrambled. But we have part of that. We're trying to get all of that as much as we can.
You're doing a great deal to inform your public, and that, I think, is a great service.
You want to talk about UFOs, Bill? A year ago, exactly at this time, I was on lecture tour in South Africa, and I went on safari to Botswana, and that's where The Gods Must Be Crazy was filmed. Did you see that wonderful film?
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard great things about it.
All right. I met two displaced and very well-educated Rhodesians, and they pulled us aside to talk about our extraterrestrial connections. And they told us this story, which occurred while they were still living in Zimbabwe. They told us that a huge UFO landed, and hundreds of people gathered around to see the craft. And the entities came out of the ship, and they were very quietly and respectfully saluted by everybody there. And they described them as small, beautiful, obviously friendly, very curious beings. And they and their craft stayed on the ground for almost an hour. And it was the experience of a lifetime for them. And they told us we just knew that they'd come in peace and they would come back someday. Then the man and the woman became very wistful because they had to leave their homeland and they relocated to Botswana. And about 3 years later, another craft hovered overhead. But in Botswana, the reception was very different. And they said to me, the military came at the craft with gunfire.
Mm-hmm.
And people started screaming and fleeing in panic and in fear. And they said, did we think the ETs would ever return? Why should they come back? In Zimbabwe, you know, they were met with love. Here they were met with fear. And they wanted us to ask the Ogata group about it. Where did the ships come from? Well, you know, it would appear that something from another dimension has indeed returned, at least to Zimbabwe, because if you've been reading about it in the London Times, the Air Force has taken up UFO hunting, and they have picked up on meteorological radar all kinds of wonderful things.
You know, just about 6 weeks ago, maybe it was less, there was flight after flight of UFOs that flew over Tucson, Arizona. They were seen by everybody in Tucson. They were photographed by the television stations in Tucson.
Sure.
Radar tracked them totally and completely in Tucson.
Right.
Nobody really heard about it other than the people in Tucson who were looking at it, and so television down there had to tell them.
Well, it's
in Phoenix, they did a little.
Uh-huh.
In Los Angeles, they did nothing.
Well, in Brewster, New York, they did plenty.
And, of course, there was the Brewster thing of last summer.
That's right.
Now, if you were to ask a news editor of a television station or a radio station in Los Angeles, why didn't you run the story of the UFOs in Tucson, and you had plenty of footage available to you, they would say, We had a wreck on the Hollywood Freeway, which was far more important,
right,
than a stabbing in the barrio in East Los Angeles, which is infinitely more important than the fact that almost a million people watched a flight of 60 UFOs cavort overhead in Tucson.
Well, these are not illusions, and they're not deceptions, and they're not imagination. Objects have been sighted in many urban centers and clearly sighted by staff at control towers. Did you see the new Gallup poll that revealed that 47% of the American population said yes when they were asked about intelligent life on other planets?
I think it was 57%.
No, it was 47, and 49 said that the search for this life was a good use for research money. What got me was the fact that almost half of the Americans who were believers had a high education, and the most skeptical group were high school dropouts. That fascinated me.
Does that tell you something?
Yes, it does. As for myself, I keep hearing Carl Sagan's name now. Of course, we'll hear his comment, and he's a wonderful astronomer. I'm not particularly interested in the group called SETI, or Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence.
Well, that's using dumb technology to try to contact with very advanced technology.
I guess I put it this way. I personally have no need to search for what I know is there.
Well, I think what they're trying to do is like put bottles in the ocean and hope that somebody finds them by using the best of our science.
One good thing about it, Bill, is that there is a changing consciousness and interest, and any of these new statistics should be welcomed for publication. I was very happy with this Gallup poll.
Tell me, before we have to take a break here in about a minute and a half.
Okay.
Who are the Ogottans?
The Ogottans are a benign group of extraterrestrials who have been monitoring this planet, among others, for centuries, and who are going to be one of a group of 20-plus civilizations who will help us in this period of transition, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of space beings, I think, is to stimulate us without violating our free will. They're here to aid us in a very difficult birth process, not to exploit any man or animal or the Earth itself. I think that's the bottom line.
We have less than a minute before we want to take a break. I want to ask you a very, very searching question, if I may. In your minds, you've been dealing with this for a long time.
Yes, we have.
What valid evidence says to you that this is more than your imagination?
Well,
go ahead.
You have a minute to talk about...
You now have 15 seconds.
We have 15 seconds
15
to talk about all of our lives, Bill. It's a broad question.
No, I want to know. Well, I'm setting you up. We'll get into that right after we take our break for the news here. But you were two very, very bright and successful.
It took a lot of convincing, Bill. I can tell you that. We were a very hard sell.
You were a hard sell. And I want to get into that sell because two very exciting, very dynamic people all at once came across a group of extraterrestrials called the Ogottans. And it changed your life. And there was no reason for you to do this other than the fact that you believed. And I want to know why you believe.
All
we'll
right.
be back.
Well, let me say first that I never try to convince anybody of anything. I only ask them to consider the awesome possibilities.
Okay.
And that's what we considered, the awesome possibilities. I came to the conclusion that if I simply limited myself to what I absolutely consider true beyond doubt, while it's true that I would minimize all risk of error, I would also be missing out on what was the subtlest and most important and rewarding thing in my life, and that was meeting with the Ogata group.
Now, Bill, one statement that they said initially to us was that from a base of known knowledge, reality springs, the future springs. And when they showed Greta that scenario in the middle 70s, it was something that was so far from our reality that if indeed it had any basis of fact at all, there had to be, with a little hard work, a lot of facts which we could dig up. And let me tell you, it started several years of study. Among them, as I can recall it now, I dug up a report sent by a U.S. official in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, which was written in 1977 or 1978. And it stated, there is an environmental nightmare unfolding before our eyes. It's the result of the acts of millions of Ethiopians struggling for survival. And he says parts of it, he went on to talk about parts of Ethiopia would become permanent disaster areas. Now, from a base of known knowledge, we should have seen the unfolding scenario. We didn't. Of course, all of us are very familiar with Ethiopia today. Mm. That's on the practical side. Now let's talk about the esoterica, which is probably more in line with what your audience would be interested in. Greta being sensitive, being able to pick up greater amounts of radiation than the normal 5 band allow for people like me, say, was able to see, for lack of a better word, the energy emanations from the individuals. We're now scientifically catching up with what sensitives have been able to do for centuries. The bodies, the individuals, radiate in the infrared band. There are 17 octaves in the infrared band, and the technology is just arriving that allows us to see them. There was an article very, very recently in MIT's Technology Review magazine, and they said they're developing imaging equipment that, by detecting minute magnetic fields in human organs and tissues, researchers hope to diagnose ailments ranging from dementias to genetic diseases.
Well, how about curing them?
Pardon me?
How about curing them?
Well, the first thing is to detect them. After that, curing them.
Let's recognize it, then cure it, Bill.
That's being done right now.
Right. Of course it is. But, you know, we're talking back a decade. What was it? Your question was, what was it that made us take note of the Ogata group? Anything that they told us or directed us toward, we had to be able to find for ourselves. If there was no evidence of it, then it certainly just couldn't appear instantly out of nowhere. When you looked into the UFO situations, which was certainly foreign to Greta's mentality and to mine, there was a wealth of information, which, of course, you and your audience are very familiar with. But when you dug into them in the middle and late 70s, it was a revelation. So there was a base of knowledge from which somebody willing to take the time and make the effort to do the work could gain a knowledge. Now, if you look into quantum physics, you're now talking about an area which is so foreign to a reality in which we all live, where particles go forward or backward in time, where their longest-lived subatomic particles live for a millionth or a billionth of a second, and they are the constituents of every material substance we know. We're living in a world of energy, and all of these psi phenomena are just a matter of understanding the technology and how they work.
Well, so then what you're telling me, Dick, is, you know, I wanted to get down to why your life and Greta's life was so radically altered. Greta was having a psychic experience in which she was channeling information which came through, as it was related to you, as from a group called the Ogatans, which were an alien group, very benign, very friendly, very pro what we are here, but with a lot of information for us about some troubles that we're going to have.
And who was showing us in the process, as a means of winning us over, all kinds of advanced technology that we never dreamed on.
Right.
Never dreamed on. Materialization, dematerialization, teleportation, all of these things became part and parcel of our lives, Bill. And we decided that...
But from your point of view, what I'm trying to establish is here, is that, yes, you were getting channeled information from you, Greta. And that was, you didn't get any visitations from the Ogatans themselves. You didn't see their spaceships or them. But what you saw was a great deal of information. And over a period of time, that information proved to be unerringly accurate.
That's correct.
And the level and quality of the information you got was absolutely beyond, I would suspect, your own internal systems to do it. Because prior to that, you were a mother and a businesswoman, totally in another world and not involved in any of these things at all. And I would be... would it be safe to say you never even thought about these things until this started happening to you?
Well, not at that level.
Not at that level.
You were talking to two very square individuals, establishment people.
We talked to square establishment people back in New York who were doing extremely well and had their life in order and lived by the book.
Bill, let me take you into a hypothesis at the moment, because you asked the question, and I want to carry it in a logical sequence for you. It's only recently that career scientists have been able to talk openly about the possibility, mind you, the possibility of extraterrestrial life.
Openly, but privately, they talk about the absolute fact of it. Why they won't get on these microphones and talk about it, I don't know.
Well,
like Admiral Shepard was here on these microphones, not on this program, but on the other one.
Well.
And he looked me straight in the eye and he said, it's not true, Bill. But I happen to know that he has said something else to other people. So I have great, you know, respect for Admiral Shepard. But I know that where he's coming from. He can't say that, I suppose.
Well, you can go back.
I wish he would. Because he knows.
Mm-hmm. You know, you can go back 100, 150 years to the great Isaac Newton, or 300 years, when they had the tercentenary in 1947. John Maynard Keynes, the great economist, got up.
I don't think he was so great.
Well, he's renowned, let's put it that way. Economists isolate themselves from reality too often and think that their theories will work in a vacuum, and we know better than that. But he talked about a Newton. And he made the statement, his deepest instincts were occult, esoteric, semantic, with a profound shrinking from the world. And then another person got up to eulogize him, a professor from Columbia University, and said, his method of discovery was that of a medium coming out of a trance, with himself astounded by the startling nature of his own theories. So it's not just something that has occurred. It's something that's been going on and has been kept quiet for fear of ridicule. Certainly so much more could be done by Newton without bringing in a subject beyond the ability to verify it. And of course, Thomas Edison was the same kind. He was a champion of the occult and psychic causes.
And so was Nikola Tesla.
Oh, Nikola Tesla was the greatest champion. He was 100 years before his time, Bill.
Well, he just ran afoul with J.P. Morgan, that's all.
Well, he wanted to give away what Morgan wanted to sell. That's the material world.
He wanted to give away energy.
That's correct. He solved an energy problem before the world was aware that there was one.
In 1901, he could have given us free energy. In 1901, J.P. Morgan stopped it. And we can thank J.P. Morgan for World War I and World War II and the Great Depression. And thank you, Mr. Morgan.
Well...
I think that's a very provable thing. I don't mind saying it.
Well,
don't get me on that soapbox.
I'll go back to your question. What the Elgata Group did for us was have us commit, in their words, to trumpet the voice and scribe the pen on the subject of change and on transition and allay the fear. And, of course, fear is a killer. And we took that on. We took it on through the book. We take it on through the update. And we believe in what they tell us because everything they have told us so far is right on target. We have changed our lives.
Well, what impresses me, Greta, if I can interrupt you there for just a second, because I know that my phone lines are getting busy here and I know they want to talk to you, is that this great change happened to you.
Yes.
You got this information in a very unusual way.
That's correct.
I'm sure that you went through those moments of my going dingy, schizo, and whatever.
Oh, I thought I was a schizophrenic.
You sure
and then
you
they
did?
Would come in and they would say, see that grand piano? I'd say, yes. They'd say, look again, and it would be gone. And they'd laugh and say, can you do that? And I'd say, no. And they'd say, so much for your schizophrenia.
And you took this information to a dear friend of mine, Dr. Andrea Paharich.
That's correct.
Who has been a guest.
I only worked with Andrea for a year.
Yeah.
And that was probably the key year in my life.
And Andrea, of course, is one of the great minds in this world.
Yes, he is. He is a genius
without a doubt.
His own right. And way before his time.
And one of the most sparkling nights we ever had on Open Mind was Andrea was here.
I was with you.
And I am sorry that, yes, you were that night. But I'm sorry that the audience wasn't with me until about 9 o'clock the next morning, because when we got off the air at midnight, Andre and I just went out and chatted for untold hours. And he had to go and give a lecture, and I was really upset that he had to go get a lecture, because I was getting one of the greatest educations in my life with Andrea.
Well,
and we talked a great deal about you.
Because of what happened through Andrea, Dick and I had to re-examine actions and reactions, and that's how we feel we have grown. And now we are very much into not only survival for ourselves, of course, and for our family, but for the extended family of I don't know how many.
What also impresses me, Greta and Dick, is that you have taken this message now, and I am impressed by the people who listen to your message. Captains of industry,
well,
leaders of government. These are the only people you talk to. You don't go to the psychic fairs. It is not that easy to get you even on Open Mind.
I tell you, Bill, these are the leaders in today's paradigms, okay? We are hopeful that because they have such strong voices, being leaders and shakers and bakers in industry, that they will also be leaders in the great tomorrow that we're foreseeing. And so, yes, we choose a leadership audience.
And they listen.
And they do indeed listen.
All over the world they listen. The captains of industry, the leaders in government, are generally the people who listen to what you have to say.
Well, I was fascinated to get an invitation to speak at the American Stock Exchange. You can't get into more status quo people than that, now can you?
Now, you know, these are all brilliant people, you know. And they realize that what you're saying, there is a very strong ring of reality to it. And we have to take it away. And that's what I enjoy talking to you about. And that's what I enjoy about the Woodrow Update.
Bill,
is that we take it out of the mysticism and the cultism that happens with the UFO phenomenon. And we put it now on the front pages. And we put it now in the science of the times, and we put it into the paradigms that are existing and working. And you have the people from the stock exchange listening, and you have the people from government listening to you. And I'm delighted that you're sharing some of this information with us tonight. Because we're not the stock exchange, and we're not government leaders. We're just a bunch of folks out here in L.A.
Oh, the Californians are wonderful.
And how nice to have you aboard. Are you ready to talk to them out there?
I certainly am.
So we're talking to Greta Woodrue and Dick Smolo. Two of the most courageous people I know. They've had an experience with an alien group. They make no bones about it. The information that they have received from the alien group has been unerringly correct. They have the ear of the captains of industry and government the world over. And you have their ear now, and it's your chance to talk to them. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind, the Lion. Hello, Joyce.
Yeah, welcome. Hi, Bill.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. You have a very interesting show.
Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller, and I'm very nervous.
Where have you been?
Well, I listen to you all the time. You're really interesting. I would like to ask Greta. I was reading in a tabloid about a UFO armada planning to invade the Earth.
Okay.
If she knows anything about that.
I'm happy to tell you, Joyce, that I do not.
Oh, that's good.
I'm happy to tell you that the 24-plus civilizations that work with the Ogata group give you a great promise of help, a benign approach. We do not buy this negative forces business that we read so much about. The Ogata group call their spacecraft the Gatai. They talk about the coming of the Gatai. I have no communication or information on any armadas coming in with negative ideas.
They had a huge armada in northern Italy over a town called Pavia.
Joyce, I want you to think for just a second. First of all, why would any civilization advanced enough to get here from someplace else want to invade this snake pit?
I agree.
Number one. I mean, for what reason? That would be like the United States Army going out and invading the Everglades. I mean, for what reason? There's no reason for it. Because we do kind of live in a snake pit. So, you know, that's out. Absolutely. Number two, your source is a tabloid. Those people are not necessarily interested in disseminating information that is accurate. They're interested in education. Whenever you buy one of those, you've got to know you're just going to be entertained. That's it. And they're going to tell you all kinds of marvelous, funny stories or amazing stories. And don't you understand that you're buying that story just for entertainment and certainly not for information of any value.
Understand also, Joyce, if you will, that a higher evolution will never violate your free will. That's not their purpose. Not at all. They're here to aid you, not to hinder you in any way. As far as the Ogata group goes, they give direction